The Beverlys. The Beverlys. Midweek Freak Treat. The Beverlys. Episode 3. The Beverly Runaway. I'm Adam, and you're in.
And now I can talk, and that motorcycle revving just makes me want to get on a two-wheeler and ride, baby, down to Sturgis and show them my true colors, you know what I mean?
Let them shine through, that's why I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
You know when you hear the hogs revving that it's time for some preteen girl singing action, just a real treat with the Beverlys and old Tommy Blaze the Blaze Man.
Kawasaki.
Oh, vroom vroom, you know? Ooh, the sound, my loud bike, it goes vroom vroom.
Ducati.
Why buy a motorcycle when you could buy a Harley Davidson Ford F-150? That's all I'm saying. Don't spend, the licensing for motorcycles is insane, especially here in Haiti. It's so much cheaper to just buy a special edition Harley Davidson Ford F-150.
Why not have your cake and your cream as well? Get a Ford F-150, because we can all afford it, and then get yourself a delicious hog.
Get yourself a full pig, bury it in the ground, and eat it the next day. Delicious.
That is how you cook a pig. You gotta bury it. There's no above ground cooking of a pig that like tastes anything good.
No, absolutely. A pig needs to be cooked using geothermal energy. That's the only way that it works. You don't have to put anything else in the hole. You just have to dig a 4,000 foot deep hole, and then enough of the heat from the Earth's core is permeating at that point. Doesn't sound like it's that deep, but it's deep enough.
Yeah, if you think geothermal energy is going to heat your home or something, it's not. We're spending the money so we can cook pigs, baby.
That's right. This is a pig cooking channel now, baby.
That's deep. You got to dig real deep into the Earth's crust.
Oh, yeah. And as a man in a porno I once watched said, deep as you go. And it haunted me ever since, so.
So he said that to whomst?
Presumably, a lady giving him, topping him off, giving him brain.
Oh, so she was on top.
Mouth-wise. Yeah. She was doing like a keg stand on his D.
Ah, nice. I see. So like this wasn't vagina or like anal.
Oh God. The gall of a guy to go deep as you go as he rams it in your B. Hoi, 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 mama.
I think that's the only word that we can never again say on this podcast is the A word.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That word is unholy. It's not in the Bible at all. And you'll never catch us saying the A word ever again.
I felt disgusting after I said it. I think God, like, reached down and twisted my Jimmy. Yeah. Not in a good way.
No, you reached down and plowed your ass, you know?
Yeah. See, that's an A word we can definitely say.
Absolutely.
But that other A word was gross.
Wait, what's the other A word then? Wait, now I'm confused.
Anal.
Oh, yuck. Gross.
That time it felt good, I'm not gonna lie.
Hey, that's what she said.
Once you get used to it.
Hey, that's what she said. It's all there. Are you eating? What are you eating right now?
Orange.
Nice, yeah. Drinking bone broth, eating an orange, the Pure Boys breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
This is my Beverly's promise to you, is that I'm going to have a couple of mandarin oranges, and I'm going to be sipping on bone broth, hot and salty.
Nice. Listen up. This is my promise for when we watch the Beverly's.
The Beverly's.
Drinking bone broth, eating mandarins. That's something.
Our one body is made up of three girls.
Is made of what? Made of teak girls.
I wanted to relate to the audience that our bodies are made up of three preteen girls in a trench coat. You know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Of course. Yeah. We've been stacked up this whole time. So technically, there's six preteen girls representing the Pure Boys, Adam and Steve. Each of us is made up of three preteen girls stacked on each other.
Yeah, we're each a Beverly. And together we're the Beverlys.
We're the Royal Beverlys.
Oh, man. Why not make that the show? The Royal Beverlys.
Why not? Hey, every week we ask, why not just change the name of the show to The Royal Beverlys? You want it. You want it so bad. So just do it then.
Just give it to us.
Yeah. Deep as you go. Deep as you go. That really has haunted me my entire life. I saw it in a pornographic movie once, and it's haunted me. I've never said it to a lover. I'd feel horrific saying that to somebody. My wife, could you even imagine? Oh, I couldn't. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, you happy Valentine's Day. I think your wife is the perfect person to say deep as you go.
How dare you?
Because you know each other. You've explored every inch of your bodies.
Your wife is the perfect person. Don't put that on my... It's your wife, all right, pal? Your wife's the perfect one to say deep as you go to. Not my wife.
I'm talking about everybody's wife or husband.
How dare you? How dare you refer to my wife as everybody's wife? It's your wife who's everybody's wife, all right, pal? Don't be putting that voodoo on me.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
We're taking off the gloves this episode. We're really peed at each other over Valentine's Day. We got into a bit of a scruff yesterday.
So mad. So mad. I had to message this guy and say I love you at like 8 p.m. I hadn't heard from him all day. I was waiting for a text from my favorite co-host saying, hey, I love you, on Valentine's Day, the day of love. And then I had to text him first. Embarrassing.
I'm pretty sure I opened the dialogue.
Yeah, you didn't say, I love you. You said, oh, farts in a bag or whatever you said. I don't know. You know
no,
what? Let's read our text messages live on air.
Pulling out our phone.
Pulling them out.
I'm pretty sure I said gush, which is a form of love.
Well, fair enough, yeah. You said,
I said, here comes the glue.
Right.
Which is absolutely love.
True.
And horses and elegance.
And I said, bout to bust. Happy Valentine's Day. I love you. So.
And I said, I love you. Save the bust for last. Which, clever wordplay, of course.
Very clever. Yeah.
But I refused to say happy Valentine's Day.
But you know what? The clever wordplay was totally worth it. I was, you know, I just now I thought of a good response that I should have said, the bust is yet to come.
Hey! Well, sometimes it hits you and sometimes it, you know, leaves you.
Yeah. Sometimes it hits you, sometimes it leaves you. Got that in the fortune cookie.
Yeah, I thought of that on the spot. Can you believe it?
That's really good. You're like a modern day Socrates.
Leonardo da Vinci, thank you very much. I love me some da Vinci. I know all of his stuff.
Do you know all of his codes?
No.
Oh.
I don't know codes.
Nah, I don't know codes. I'm not a Mercury Rising. I don't look at TVs and no codes. I don't know.
Don't show me codes.
Hey, get those codes out of here. I don't know these codes. Don't even ask.
I don't know these codes, I think, is a, like a, you could build a script around that for sure.
For sure, yeah. The first line and the last line of the script, I don't know these codes, but they're said very different ways.
Bone broth break.
All right, quick. Hey, listeners, now's your chance to sip some bone broth. If you're playing along at home, here's your signal. Here's the code to sip bone broth.
A moment like this, some people wait a lifetime. Get yourself some bone broth.
Yep. Some people wait a lifetime for a hot, frothy piss.
Ooh, did you just come up with that? Or did you write that down?
I feel like I sing it every time I hear a moment like this. I mean,
really?
If the last line is this, the last word is this, piss is such a natural rhyme for it that you try to work it in no matter what the song is.
It's right there for the taking. Like, it's a big bowl of Jello and nobody's had any.
Yeah, and you just
get to have all of it.
Stick your hand right in that bowl of Jello, make sure nobody else tries it.
What was your favorite color of Jell-O when you were a kid, and what is it now?
Oh, man. First of all, thank you so much for the question. I really appreciate that. My family, we weren't a Jell-O family, so certainly, like, my favorite color, I guess, was orange.
Oh, my God. Orange?
I mean,
that is decidedly the worst one.
We barely ate Jell-O. You know, given our druthers, we were a pudding family. So,
yeah.
Yes, we hey, okay. Ask me what my favorite flavor of pudding is.
No. Okay. So my Capioca. Favorite flavor of Jell-O
sure.
when I was a kid was green. Green all the way. But I remember having red a lot. Like, red was just in the house because, like, adults make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably the biggest disappointment of my life.
What was green taste like? Was that green apple or was it something that was good?
It was like a lime, like a sweet lime.
Oh, sitting out here looking at the gazelles, drinking eating a sweet lamb.
Lord.
Oh, a bowl of sweet lamb jello.
Lordy, lordy, look who's 60.
Lordy, lordy, it's E40. There he
okay.
is. He goes
by. You did pique my interest. What is your favorite flavor of pudding?
I'm not telling you. I said it, and astute listeners will have heard me say it. So if you weren't listening, if you're too busy talking to listen, sorry, pal, you'll have to wait till this episode comes out to get that answer.
What are you, my wife?
You mean everyone's wife. Gotcha.
Yeah. They be talking, but I don't be listening. Baby. Put on sports and just fade away.
Put a beer in my hand and sports on the television, and I might as well not even have a wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. You can talk all you want, but the brain ain't listening, baby. There's a three-pointer. Swish.
You can tell me the house is burning down, but as long as the TV's still on, I'll see you in hell.
Yeah, that's why you get a generator for your TV and your cable box. In case the house burns down, you can still watch your sports.
Sitting in the smoldering ruins of your house watching sports, watching the Tennessee Titans. That's a team, right?
Yeah, the Titans of Tennessee. They're the best. They're huge.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I'm more of a Charlottesville Hornets fan, but, you know, basketball's
different
baseball.
Different sports, so you can like both.
No, actually, that's incorrect. I recently found out that you are only legally allowed to have one favorite team across all sports. So, choose wisely.
Okay. Well, I'll have to think on that, and I'll get
nope.
back to you.
Snap answer. Who's your favorite team? Tell us right now. What kind of pudding did you like?
I liked butterscotch. I was a little weird butterscotch man.
What the fuck? Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an accurate description for sure. To be I'm a little weird butterscotch man. That's how anyone who orders butterscotch has to say it like that. Oh, I'm so sorry. Can I have butterscotch? I guess.
A lot of tongue licking is involved.
Yeah.
Okay. It's horrible to ask for butterscotch. But I think it's worth it. It's so creamy and delicious.
Fair
what
enough.
About you? What did you say?
I'm a tapioca man. Hey, if we learned anything about me on this show, I like things with little balls in them. So whether that's a bubble tea or a bowl of tapioca pudding, I'm sucking those balls.
You're absolutely right. I was too much of a mensch to like tapioca. I didn't like the texture of it. The little balls weren't my favorite back then. But I do like saying, or rather singing, tapioca. I always go, tapioca!
Lovely. You have a big Austrian horn when you sing that.
Yeah, tapioca! Very, very reminiscent of the 1960s.
If I could just see you on top of a mountain yelling that, and then an avalanche starting at your feet and crushing a town... What a beautiful moment that would be.
Yeah, I'd crush a town. Are there people in it?
Yeah, full of people. It's Christmas Eve. Everyone's at home having the time of their lives, and you've decided to cast death upon this mountain community.
Does God give me his blessing?
Of course. He gives you the strength to murder an entire village with your words, and then you have a sip of wine afterwards to celebrate, and you lose all your powers.
I lose all my powers?
Hey, that's the rules. You get. God was like, I gave Samson too many chances. I just don't touch dead people. Don't cut your hair. Don't drink wine. And he did all those things. So you know what? Screw it. Now don't drink wine. That's it. Only rule. You blew it.
He does like to give out weird rules, like kill your brother. But hey, don't kill your brother.
Yeah, he gave.
Or is it your father?
He gave out like 10 of them at one time, and was just like, you know what? This is good. But then, maybe we'll whittle it down a little bit.
Yeah, he made sense at the beginning with those first 10. Like, don't murder somebody. I can kind of get that, unless they're really, like, murderable.
Right, or unless God tells you to murder them, in which case, murder on, man. Get your hands filthy with that blood.
Yeah, there's a lot of murder in the Bible, isn't there?
Oh, and, I mean, we've talked about this before, but God murders everyone at one point. And the end of the book is everyone dying, except everyone dies, I guess, except the people who go to heaven in bodies. Ugh, gross. Bring their pubes up to heaven. Ugh.
Pubes in heaven.
That was the original song. Yeah, he wanted his son to tell him if there were pubes in heaven. So,
and he got it. He got the information.
He got his answer. His son went, "Leave me alone. You're a neglectful father." Gotcha, Clapton. Gotcha.
Oh man, Clapton. We should get on his arse soon.
Yeah, it's about time someone took that rock god down a peg.
Well, as soon as he dies, I'm probably going to blast on Twitter.
Good call. Yeah, as soon as he dies, we're just using hashtag pubes in heaven forever.
We will never talk about it again in a following episode. Mm. Pubes in heaven is dead after this, but once Eric Clapton is dead, we're going to sing it, we're going to produce the heck out of it, and we're going to go top 100.
Oh, yeah. People are going to cry. It's like when Elton John just did that Rose song or whatever the hell, Candle in the Wind. He just was like, Candle. I'll do it again. I'll change two lyrics to be about a different person. Go, okay. Well, if you can do that, then we're writing Pubes in Heaven. Sorry, Eric. I hope that's a fitting tribute for you.
Yeah, and if anybody ever gives us any guff, we'll just say, we're doing an Elton John, Candles in the Wind, shut up.
We'll go, we're protected by parody law. You wouldn't sue a Weird Al Yankovic. We would ask Eric Clapton's permission, but he's dead. So, Pubes in Heaven, here it is. Would you know my name?
When we're doing our live shows, and we'll definitely be doing Pubes in Heaven across the world... if somebody yells out anything defamatory about what we're singing about, we have to stop the show.
Mm-hmm.
We have to turn everything off and explain to this person that we're doing an Elton John.
Of course. And by turn everything off, you mean like the lights, all the electronics. Oh, yeah. It's now pitch black in the auditorium, outside of the auditorium that's built in the Noah's Ark. And and we're saying, hey, we're doing, what were you saying? We're doing an Elton John.
Yeah.
You know, Candle in the Wind, Goodbye England's Rose, Kiss from a Rose.
Duh.
Duh. Get some, like, get some class, all right? Jerk in the crowd. Get, like, read the room. Everyone's loving Pubes in Heaven right now. And you're going to come in here and go, boo, garbage. We'll go... Are you kidding me, man? Eric Clapton is dead. He would love Pubes in Heaven if he could hear it now. But he can't. He's finding out the answer if there's pubes in heaven.
Yeah. His wife is in the back.
Yeah.
Do you think he has a wife or too rich?
Well, he's probably got a wife, I'd imagine. Yeah.
Okay. So she's in the back. Do you think pitch darkness?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think we go with that? There's no spotlight, anything?
Well, if we shut the lights off, the emergency lights are going to come on. So now it's lit by those eerie emergency lights way up on the walls. We just, when we say shut everything off, we just flip the main breaker. It's just ka-chunk, and the whole thing, all of Noah's Ark goes dark. Ooh, a dark arc.
I'll cut off the backup generators so the emergency lights don't come on. Because that, I mean, it's cool, but it's not the vibe we're going for, right?
No, we want pitch black in Noah's Ark. We're sitting on the laps of cavemen right now.
We probably should have the screens on for 15 seconds with, like, red don't panic so people don't go crazy and then go pitch black. Or do we explain right away?
No, I think, if anything, the screen should say, now is the perfect time to panic. Or maybe they just say fire. Maybe they just say fire in all caps. Lights go out.
I'm going to yell calm down, though.
That's fine. It's going to be hard to hear you because your voice isn't going to be amplified. And Noah's Ark is huge and full of people. So we're
doing this at the Ark?
Yeah, of course. Of course. That's where our first live show is. We're sitting on stage. We're both playing guitar. So we learned beautiful finger picking of Pubes in Heaven. And everyone's loving it except one jerk in the back. Like, the drummer from Cream is there or something, and he's really mad about us disrespecting Eric Clapton. He's dead. He doesn't care anymore. So then...
Cream this.
Maybe that's what he yells. He stands up and goes, cream this! And we go, ka-chunk, shut all the lights off. Big screen in all red letters.
Fire!
Fire! All red letters. And then that
Fire
shuts
in
off.
The arc.
Then that shuts off. And then we go... Who yelled cream this? Who yelled that? You, stand up. You yell cream this?
Of course, we won't be able to see if he stands up, but, like, we'll know. We'll get the vibe.
And you'll fall off the stage, because, I mean, you're walking forward. It's pitch black.
I think that we should hide some goggles. What do you see in the dark?
Oh, night vision.
Yeah, we should be able to see.
Sure.
With night vision goggles.
Here's what we do. We do like old knights used to do. We just keep one eye closed the entire show up until that moment. And then as soon as we shut the lights off, we can open that eye and we've got night vision in that one eye. So we're already set. We were preparing.
I'm going to use a patch, I think.
Oh, that's an even better call. Then you don't even have to worry about, I'm going to close one eye because I want the audience to think I'm winking at them the whole time and being like, pubes in heaven, can you believe it?
Once this cream a-hole sits down, we'll explain to him about why I was wearing the patch and how clever we are and how good of an idea this was. And then we'll go back into pubes in heaven wherever this comes up. Because it will come up. Some a-hole is going to ask, why is this happening?
It's going to be hard to get Ginger Baker, the drummer from Cream, to be at the show because he died in 2019. So
we'll get him.
We'll find someone else. It might not be Ginger Baker, but it'll be somebody who hasn't discovered the answer to if there are pubes in heaven or not.
So are we telling everybody that this may or may not be a plant?
Oh, that like, oh, I see what you mean. The old man who stood up and yelled, Cream this, while holding up two drumsticks over his head so we know that it's the drummer.
We could just get a lookalike.
I mean, we could just get your dad. No one knows who your dad is. And your dad probably loves Cream.
Yeah, let's get the father in this. Let's get all familial connections in this.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, for sure. Well, okay, so your dad is there. He stands up. He goes, Cream this. Then my dad flips the breaker, shuts all the power off to the arc. Meanwhile, my sister has locked all the doors so that nobody can leave. Boom.
Chains or no?
people might notice the sound of chains being wrapped around the door handles.
Clanking chains, clanking chains.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe people might recognize that. Maybe she just like sticks a bar through the door handles or something like that. Or puts a chair up against the door so it can't open.
Yeah. Some kind of whatever she can improv on site.
Exactly. Power goes out. Ka-chunk, shut the lights off. Bright red letters on the screen. Fire. And it flashes like for 15 seconds. Fire, fire, fire,
A good 15 seconds. Has to be a whole 15.
Panic is setting in. And now we calm the audience down by quietly on our acoustic guitars playing Pubes in Heaven. The whole audience calms down. We turn the lights back on. Ginger Baker has been crucified on stage. I'm sorry to your dad. We're going to have to kill your dad. I'm really sorry. But he volunteered for this.
The murder has to be real.
Yeah, we'll fake everything else. The fire, fake. Eric Clapton's death, possibly fake. Your dad's death, murder at the hands of our show, 100% authentic and real.
Okay, so if we do this before his death, we have to have Rip, whatever his name is.
Ginger Baker.
No, the Tears in Heaven guy.
Well, what do you think his name is? We've been talking about him for 20 minutes.
Eric Clapton.
Nailed it, yep. Yeah. Rock guitar god.
When I put
garbage.
On the spot, baby.
That's beautiful. How does this whole thing end? How do we wrap up this pubes in heaven bit?
This is probably when we have like a drop down huge flag. I'm talking huge flag that says RIP Eric Clapton.
Beautiful. But there's no breeze, so it just kind of flops down. It's really hard to read. You know, people don't really know what it is, but we spent thousands of dollars to get a 25-foot tall flag that's if it's 25 feet tall, it's like 80 feet wide. And it doesn't even fit in the auditorium. It's so big. We hang it from the side of the arc, so when the people leave, they see, oh my god, Eric Clapton's dead? Oh my god!
And that's the twist. That's the ultimate gotcha moment.
Yeah, exactly. This is how they find out that Eric Clapton is dead. They go, pubes in heaven? That's not a very good joke. And then they find out, oh, he's dead. Oh, that is a pretty good joke, actually. That's really funny.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's really clever.
That gives us something to think about on the way home. Eric Clapton is dead. Huh. Pubes dead. In heaven. All right. Sure.
Wow.
You know, now that we're putting some distance between us and that awful experience at Noah's Ark and then finding out that Eric Clapton's dead, that's a pretty good bit. That's a pretty funny joke that those guys came up with.
Yeah, they're going to be saved. We're going to save a lot of people that day, for sure.
God bless pubes, you know?
God bless pubes.
All I can think about is that in heaven, if bodies got taken up to heaven, you would find pubes everywhere.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, on a chair. Like, you just... Like, everything's white. It's all clouds. So a pube would stand out like crazy. You'd just see them. It would be so gross. They don't have vacuums in heaven. Tell me a vacuum that died.
They say you have to trust in God, even if it doesn't make any sense.
Is that rule number three?
And that is rule three, Royal Beverly's rule three. No matter what God's crazy plan is, you will never know it, but you just gotta trust it. And I trust that God is gonna clean up the pube somehow. He's gonna figure out the pube problem.
He's gonna zhuzh up heaven. He's gonna blow his holy breath all over the ground, and that's gonna just blow away all the pubes are gonna blow off the clouds and rain down on the earth.
Maybe everybody's got pubes, but they're clear. Or maybe they're different colors, or maybe they disintegrate after they fall off. Who knows, but he's got a plan.
I love the idea of pubes, like, gently falling from heaven, and, like a child running outside being like, it's snowing! And just, like, ah, like, sticking their tongue
those are
out.
Pubes?
And no, son! Maybe that's...
Oh, man.
Pubes in heaven.
Thank you.